Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned. Hi, this is Minister Rick Bell with HeavenlyWarriors.com, and I want to say thank you to all of those who are listening to this broadcast, and a special thank you to those of you who are supporting this ministry. There's a PayPal link on the front page of the website, HeavenlyWarriors.com, and many of you have clicked that to make generous donations, and I greatly appreciate that. And I wanted to do this special recording to send out to you, because it's going to contain information that's going to be very pertinent to possibly some things that you are going through now, or some things that you're going to go through in the future. Let me say right off the bat, Christianity, serving the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is real. It's real. You've been involved in, as a born-again Christian, Spirit-filled, hopefully, for a period of time, and you know that it's a real endeavor. By the same token, witchcraft, sorcery, divination is also real. There are real people who are witches, who are warlocks. And some of those who are witches and warlocks are listening to this broadcast right now, this broadcast that I'm doing. I know you're out there because that's how you operate. And this is going to be a real illustration of an encounter with a witch. And this is what really happened. This is how it went down from beginning to end. I'm not embellishing anything. This information just came to me a very short while ago, and I wanted to share this because we need information on the front lines of the battle with demonic forces. We need information. My people perish for lack of knowledge. As you know, I'm often quoting that scripture. So let's talk about a little church that I was called to start, called the Upper Room. I live in a mid-size Texas town close to Austin, Texas. And the Lord began to deal with me. Some of you have who know my story began to deal with me probably 8 years ago now, activating me in the deliverance ministry that He had called me to in 1993. Called me in 93, two separate confirmations from unrelated people in written form, and that'll be contained in my book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons. It's going to be out in late June. But the Lord called me about 8 years ago to begin working in deliverance, learning about deliverance. I knew a little bit about it, but not a lot. So I said, yes, Lord, I'll do this. So one thing leads to another, as you know, with God's calling in your life. And He ended up sending me to a few little churches with a mission. My mission when I went to the church was to bring the Holy Spirit to the congregation. Now, I didn't know this at the time. I wasn't aware that I was being sent to the church for that reason. The word says we see through a glass darkly. So I was seeing through a glass darkly when the Lord was sending me to these various churches to help them to usher in the Holy Spirit, because they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They needed power in the churches. So each church that He would send me to, it would work out well for a while, a few months, maybe a year. But then there would be ultimate rejection because they would not want that Holy Spirit. There would be factions in the church who would shut it down, who were not comfortable with the, quote, speaking in tongues. All they needed to do was read their Bible to see that's the evidence of the baptism. But nonetheless, I would be basically kicked out of the church, and the Lord would send me to another church to try to help teach and bring in this power of the Holy Spirit. So this happened a few times, and the last time it happened, the pastor of the church where I was sent to try to help bring in the Holy Spirit, same story, another verse. The pastor was a really good man, and he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. but he could not teach it in his congregation because they would fire him. Some of the old members of the church that he came in and took over for the previous pastor, who had, as best I understood, ran off with the church secretary, you know, the age-old story. So they had to have a pastor. So this man came in and he was spirit-filled, but he learned very quickly that the people in the church did not want anything to do with the spirit-filled calling, so he just taught the best he could without it. So this man approached me and said, I would like to plant a church with you teaching on this deliverance and the Holy Spirit. He said, but there needs to be a church in our area that offers deliverance ministry because there are people in my church who I'm certain are demonized or probably possessed. And he had background with demonization, this pastor that I'm speaking of, because he himself had been demon-possessed. He himself had gone crazy like a wild animal several years back and had the stories to prove it. So he knew he had been possessed, and he was born again and delivered of that, and he understood it was real. So this pastor asked if I would be involved in starting a church. He said he would fund it if I would be in charge of, you know, be the pastor of the church. My reply to him was, you know, yeah, I'll be involved, but I don't think I can take the full responsibility of pastorship because my work schedule at the time required me to travel on weekends, and I couldn't be there very often. So I suggested that there's another individual that I knew of who I had done some ministry with in the past. I said he would be a good candidate for the pastor. Well, the pastor who was going to fund this said, you know, I don't know. He said, but if you say that that's going to be a good situation, I'll trust you on that and we'll go with it. So we did. Started a church called The Upper Room, and it was going to be about deliverance. So from day one, first teaching I did was on deliverance. Guess what? Demon-possessed people began to show up from literally the first service. They were coming in. This went on for about a year, teaching on deliverance, doing deliverance, and the Lord began to speak to me that there was a demonic spirit that had been sent on assignment to destroy the church. Now, this sounds like it's right out of the novel, This Present Darkness. For any of you who've read that novel, This Present Darkness, it's a novel, fictional, but it's about circumstances and situations that do actually really occur. It's a story of a small town church, and it's attacked by demon forces, and it's a behind the scenes look, if you will, at how the spirit world operates. And again, it's fictional, but it could be easily applied to many real life situations, and the one I'm telling you about is one of those situations. So the church that I founded was called The Upper Room, had another associate pastor, co-pastor with myself, because again, my work schedule did not allow for me to be there every Sunday. So I began teaching, and we had a few people come to the church. The church was in a big building that was basically a low-income housing building, subsidized housing. It was an old hotel that was built in the 1920s. About 10 or 12 stories, maybe 14 stories, big building. We were on the ground floor of that, and so above us were hundreds of apartments where people with low income could live, and whatever money they made with Social Security or whatever went toward the rent, and that's how the low income thing works. So there were a lot of transient, there was a lot of activity in and out of the building all the time, a lot of drug dealing going on. I knew when I went to the building it was a stronghold of demonic activity. I could feel it immediately when I walked in. So we began the church. It's called The Upper Room. And a few people trickled in. One of the very first service we had was an attractive middle-aged woman. I will call her Alice. It's not her real name. But Alice came, and Alice had her Bible tucked under her arm, and she was thrilled that we were going to have the church there in the building. When she found out we were going to teach about deliverance, she was even more excited. She said, oh, finally, someone's going to actually talk about things that are real, that are some power things. So as we began to do the service and I began to pray and minister in the Holy Spirit, something wasn't right about Alice. I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but something wasn't right. She said she was born again with the evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. But something just never felt right. But Alice was there every service. First one there with her little Bible and, you know, her little hair in a ponytail or with a flower in it. Really a nice person, nice looking person. Sweet. So as things rocked along, as I got into the teaching, the associate pastor, the co-pastor there, began to have demonic attacks in his home. Now, he only admitted to this after the fact, but he began to be under demonic attack. He began to be under demonic attack in the church where we were, in the upper room. He would be sitting there and have demons attack him to the point where he could not get up some Sundays to even come to the pulpit to preach. So we would have to carry on with him just sitting there, kind of staring off into space. Well, this thing progressed, and as it went on, this pastor, the co-pastor of this church that we founded, these demons began to work on his mind and on his emotions. And this happened. This is not something I'm making up. This is not some fantasy novel. This happened. He began to develop a kind of an animosity and a jealousy or something toward me, and it escalated. It just slowly, each week, it would get worse and worse, and you could see this thing coming over him. Not long after that, he was sitting in his front yard, motionless, and he says, and I have no reason to doubt him, this man is not a liar. I know this man. I've known him for many years. He would not make this up. He says he was attacked by demonic spirits that knocked him over, and he suffered a broken ankle, shattered wrist, had to be taken by ambulance to the hospital where he underwent surgery to put plates in his wrist and his ankle, was in a wheelchair for a while, had to miss months of work, a very serious incident that some sort of black entities, he called them, smoke figures, demons, literally hit him and knocked him off of this, knocked him over to do this damage. Come to find out, his wife, who I also know very well, said that she had encountered these same entities in their home weeks prior to that, and they had had a physical encounter with her. So these things were real. These people were not making this up. These were not sensationalizing people that would do that. They would tend to err in the other way of thinking, well, I'm not going to say anything because no one would believe me. So for them to go out on a limb and admit this was a big thing, and I knew this. As things progressed, the church became full of strife. Now, it was very small, a very small church with myself, this co-pastor, his wife, another couple, and two or three other people, one of which was the lady I spoke of named Alice. So as we moved on and I continued to teach on deliverance, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, the spirit has been taken over by a demonic entity. Demons are now in charge of the church. And you, speaking of me, you must confront them. And the way you're going to confront them is you're going to send a text message, to the co-pastor, and tell him you have a message that you're going to bring this Sunday. When you do that, that will expose the demon spirits. Because when you step up to deliver the message, that the pastor, the co-pastor, will stand up, take over the service, get up, take the pulpit, and demand that he preach a sermon. That will be the indication, that will be the sign that you are a compromised operation. The church has been compromised, and it's in the hands of demonic control. Well, sure enough, Sunday came. I'd sent the co-pastor this message that I had a teaching that I needed to teach. It was on deliverance, Holy Spirit power, because we were under attack at that moment, under attack. Just like the Holy Spirit told me, this co-pastor jumped from his seat, came up there and said, God has told me to preach a sermon today. Well, it wasn't God that told him to jump up there. It was these spirits who had literally attacked his mind. It was not in this man's character to do that, but that's what he did. So that led to my confronting him, and we had a kind of a heated confrontation. He was not happy that I was teaching on deliverance and all of that, so he basically suggested that I go somewhere else. It may be time for me to go do another church or somewhere, do my own thing, because he was going to do that one. And I said, well, that's probably better because I can't be in the strife in here. There's going to be no anointing if there's any strife. So I agreed to do that, to leave and go. Well, once I left, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the church will not last. The church will be gone in a very short amount of time. And it was. I don't know how. It was weeks after that blow up, just weeks, maybe a month, two, I don't know. But it was gone. It was no more. So all that we knew was somehow demonic forces had gotten in and taken over. Now, demon-possessed people were coming in. I was praying for them, and they were manifesting. There was some deliverance. Some of them had so much demon infestation that, you know, it's a layer thing, a layer, one layer at a time, and it takes some time to do that sometimes. But as the church went away, an interesting thing happened. There was another woman who had began coming to the Upper Room Church who had experience in deliverance ministry. In fact, she was an ex-crack addict who had been delivered from that, and she had done demonic warfare. She understood demonic warfare. She had been in a church in a different city that taught demonic warfare, spiritual warfare, and so she understood some of it. So she began to come to the church, and we'll call this woman Jane. So we have Alice, who was there in the beginning with her Bible, and she was the first one up in the prayer line and, you know, involved with everything in the church. And then we have Jane, and Jane came later in the service. So, after the church was gone, and I had moved on to do the radio ministries that I do now and the things that you're hearing, this was a result of that. What you're hearing right now is a result of that experience and propelling me through a series of divine appointments to be able to be on worldwide radio every week. It all came from that. This Alice, who was the first woman, you know, first person in the church, the nice, good Christian, what we thought, she proceeds to tell Jane, who was the woman who had had some deliverance. They lived in the same building, all right, so they're neighbors. So Alice comes one day to Jane's door, and Jane says that Alice's voice was in a low, guttural, kind of a growl, the demonic voice. And any of you have done deliverance, you've heard this voice many, many times. Jane says Alice comes to her door and begins to manifest a demonic presence and says to her, As she's laughing and snickering, Alice says, I did it. Jane says, What do you mean you did it? She said, I brought down that Upper Room ministry. You see, Alice went on to say, I'm a witch. I come from a long line of witchcraft. My brother is a high warlock. I was sent on assignment because Brother Rick, that's what they call me, Brother Rick carries the anointing for deliverance. He carries the power. And I was sent to shut that down. I was sent to bring confusion and to bring strife and to cause that thing to collapse because we had to stop him. That was my assignment. That's why I was there. That's why I was the first one there. Now, that information just came to me, but it filled in a lot of the puzzle pieces. Here this woman, Alice, was who we had gone out of our way to help, and the co-pastor and his wife had bought a Bible for her and presented it to her, a very nice Bible, that I'm sure she was using in satanic rituals to pray against us. So the point of all of this I'm saying was, this was a real person, a witch, sent on assignment to a small fledgling church called the Upper Room, where deliverance was being taught. And when I say there were only four or five total church members, I'm not exaggerating. But yet it was so important that Satan, and she said she was sent on assignment to that church. That was her assignment. So it was so important to Satan to shut that down that he assigned one of his witches to come in there. Oh, and she played the role well. She played the role of the good little Christian. You know, there were gaps in her story that no one ever kind of put two and two together. There were gaps in why she didn't have a relationship. Something happened with her mother and they were estranged. And then something happened with her daughter, or she did have a daughter or didn't have a daughter, and there was some estrangement there. There were gaps. There was something amiss. But it was early in my learning process of the deliverance ministry. And the thing about this ministry, it is an ongoing learning process. You're constantly going to learn more things if you apply yourself. There is a lot more to learn all the time. So I was so eager to try to build the church that even though I knew something, there was demonization with Alice. She was demonized. I knew that, but then most people are. But there was something beyond that about her that I never just focused in on that I probably should have. But I was so distracted in trying to build the church and cast out demons from all these other people. I did not realize Alice had been sent there on assignment to shut down my ministry, to destroy my calling. My question to you, my brothers and sisters listening to my voice, how many of you have an Alice in your church? How many of you have an Alice in your life? They look good on the outside, but they're wickedly deadly on the inside. And this is deadly stuff I'm talking about. We have no doubt at all now that the accident that happened to the co-pastor of the church was a direct result from witchcraft spells being placed on him by this Alice, this witch, who was a church member. And for all we knew, she was one of our prayer warriors. We had a prayer team, and she joined the prayer team. I bet she did. But she was sending on assignment all of this destruction. But the point she made was, this brother Rick had to be stopped because he carries the power of the deliverance anointing. Now, coming from a witch who was sent there on assignment, that tells us something. All that tells me is that at all costs, I need to pursue everything I'm doing, even when all hell lines up against me, even when all hell breaks loose in my life. And I'm not just saying this for the benefit of you, you know, feeling sorry for me. I'm talking about your ministries and your lives. When all hell starts to break loose, know that you're onto something. You're headed in the right direction. There's something that God has for you to do. Know that. So as we continue on our journey together in this deliverance ministry, I would encourage each of you, continually read, continually grow. I'm going to put a list of suggested reading materials, books, on my website. There are so many of them. In fact, just look up Pastor John Gogan. He has a bookstore online, his website, and he sells everything. I would go to his website, and there are several booklets by Win Worley. But call Pastor John Gogan. Just do a Google on him. I'll put a link on my website so you can get in touch with him and speak with him, and he'll lead you in the right direction. But can the point is to continue to educate your mind, open up and listen, because the things that you think you know, sometimes your thoughts are going to have to be corrected, because sometimes you may have been taught wrong. My theology leaned one way, and the more I've gotten into deliverance and started doing battle with the real witches of the world, like the Alices, you'll start to find out some of the things that you were taught couldn't happen. Oh, but they can happen, and they do happen, and they will happen to you. So I encourage you all not to be discouraged and not to be weary in well-doing. And I pray right now a blessing on each one of you, because we need more deliverance ministers. We need more people who can pray and block and shut down the power that's being generated by these witches and warlocks and covens around the world who are praying against the things of God, the people of God, to block and shut down deliverance ministries. Lord Jesus, I ask a special anointing right now on everyone listening to this, that they have a new boldness and a new hunger for the things of God. And that though we see through a glass darkly, you begin to put the words in our mouth, put the things in front of us that we need to approach, and keep us away from the things that we need to repel. Shut the doors that need to be shut, and open those that you would have us walk through. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things. God bless you. See you next time.